Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. This is Peyman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, I conduct these weekly conference calls in which I educate you about the law, the U.S. Constitution, your rights, and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control, and answer your freedom questions on how you can live free now. If you have not been to our website at livefreenow.org, you want to do that, folks. Livefreenow.org is our website. It's for those of you who are committed to living a free life. If freedom matters to you, if you don't want to be a slave, if you don't want to be just kicked around and told what to do and ordered what to do, and all you do is say, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, if you really think you were meant to live free, then Freedom Law School is the source, the answer you have been looking for, because Freedom Law School will teach you about the law and your rights. So you approach freedom with the government, with the IRS, with the police, with confidence that you know what you're doing. The law and your rights is not a mystery to you. You understand what's going on and you know how to move forward. And on top of that, on top of the education, folks, you can get support that you want. The unlimited consultation and help, the responses to the letters to the corrupt government officials to get these crooks off of your back, that is also available through Freedom Law School at livefreenow.org. We have many courses and freedom packages available to help you live free now. And I mean now. It's up to you, folks, to take action. Well, Freedom Law School provides you the education and the support you want and need to live free. Well, folks, tonight we're going to be talking about a two-minute video. Okay, two-minute video that's gone viral on the internet. Okay, and some of you may have seen it before. I put it on our Facebook page and I emailed you about it. But there's a on YouTube and Facebook, this video made. Okay, called Make $300,000 by doing something nobody's been able to do, right? And folks, this is, you know, put out by a High Impact Flicks. That's a, you know, good organization. I just came across into the video and they do a good job, Bobby. They put a lot of good, very educational, eye-opening video. And I appreciate High Impact Flicks for putting this video together that exposes the income tax fraud issue to the eyes of many people, folks, who have never heard about this issue. Freedom also has been deluged, and I mean deluged, with people trying to make a claim, a shot, at Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward, which I'm very happy to see, because these people will have the opportunity to have their eyes opened up, open to the truth. They are taking the red pill in a matrix of lies that has been surrounding us about our money system, the Federal Reserve, about the IRS income tax fraud, about the New World Order, about the deep state, the corruption in government, Congress, the U.S. Department of Injustice, IRS, and the courts, and much, much more. Because too many Americans do not know that they've been enslaved. This video starts out very correctly in the first 30 seconds, and sells their t-shirt, which I think has a very good message. Taxation is theft. And it's true, folks. Taxation, by definition, by description, is theft. Whenever you're not giving something to somebody else voluntarily, is taken by force, that's stealing. That's just a definition of stealing. You don't give it up voluntarily. Now, just because the people that impose the tax could be a king that's supposed to represent you, a bunch of legislatures that are supposed to represent you through your vote of you and tens, if not hundreds of millions of other people, doesn't make it any different. If you're one of those few that doesn't want to pay whatever tax rate they claim you have to pay, then it's stealing your money. So taxation, folks, by its nature, is theft. So that's the reason why taxation must be very limited and very specific. You cannot just impose taxes willy-nilly, these vague assumption of taxes. You cannot do that, folks. Taxes have to be because of that, very limited, because you can literally destroy somebody, kill them by taxing them to death. I mean, think about it. If you tax someone what they make, 90% of what they make, or 98% of what they make, theoretically, tax rates could be 90%, 98%, 99%. You could take so much from that person. They have no money to pay for food, they go hungry and starve to death. Or can't pay for shelter, they could freeze to death in the winter. Or die of heat exhaustion in summertime in some places. So you could literally be killed by your labor being stolen from you by taxes. So I think High Impact Flicks is very good putting this issue in your forehead, in your mind, that taxation by definition is theft. So we have to keep it to a minimum, limited and defined. We're going to cover that. We covered that issue on our conference calls before, and we'll cover it again. Now, this video starts after 30 seconds. And after 1.5 minutes only, I'll put some writing on there. Talk about the $50,000 income tax reward of Bill Conklin, former IRS special agent Joe Bannister, and Freedom Law School's $300,000 reward. It just gets this right to your attention that how come the IRS, the government, none of their employees of the IRS, these people who are supposed to know the tax laws so well, how come none of them have ever attempted to claim Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward? After all, they're getting paid. They work every day of the week, 5 days a week, to study the tax law, enforce the tax law. They specialize in understanding and enforcing a tax law. The IRS employees should know the law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And any IRS employee should be easily making an attempt and a claim on Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. But they haven't, folks. Since 1999 now, for 18 years, this reward has been put out by Freedom Law School, and not one IRS employee, IRS lawyer, or judge has ever attempted in any way to try to claim Freedom Law School's $300,000 reward. And folks, the reason is not because they don't know about Freedom Law School. They have not heard about the reward. That's not true. Okay, one of our Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent with the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division. This is one of my students, folks. From 1997, he started studying with Freedom Law School. In 1999, he quit the IRS. Freedom Law School printed and distributed his book for him about the income tax. He was one of them. And Joe Bannister did not know the law under which he was putting people in jail. When that was brought to his attention, he started asking questions from himself, researched it, and then confronted the IRS about it with his book, which is available through Freedom Law School, by the way, if you want to check it out. But funny thing is, the IRS never, ever answered Joe Bannister when he was with the IRS or after he resigned in disgust and tried to expose the fraud to the American people. And our Freedom Law School helped put him out there as best as we could, his information, his message out there. And the IRS in 2004 got a grand jury to indict Joe Bannister for tax crimes. But not for income tax, not filing crimes, not for the so-called crime of having not filed and paid income tax. No, sirree. The IRS did not go after Joe Bannister because Joe Bannister had not filed and paid income tax for several years. He did not file for year 1999, 2000, 1, 2, and 3 for 5 years. Before Joe Bannister was indicted by the government, he had not filed and paid a dime to the IRS. IRS didn't charge him for the so-called crime of not having filed and paid income tax. They try to bootstrap him, tie him to somebody, another business owner that was doing a lot of stuff wrong and badly because he has some connections to the other guy. They try to attach Joe to the other guy as in a conspiracy with the other guy to defraud the IRS. They were hoping that the other guy would be the lead ball chain that will bring Joe Bannister down. In fact, you know, the IRS every year prosecutes over 2,000 Americans every year for so-called tax crimes. And you know what? Joe Bannister in 2004 had the distinction of being one of the few, very few, criminal defendants, tax criminal defendants, who the commissioner of the IRS, the head of the IRS, personally and publicly spoke about Joe Bannister. He said Joe Bannister was an IRS employee. He knew what he was doing. Well, yeah, he did know what he was doing. He knows there is no law requiring Joe Bannister or you or me, the average American, to file and pay the federal income tax. And the IRS knew that Joe Bannister knows. And the IRS management folks, they know. They know there is no law, folks. They just don't care, folks. This is not different, any different from what you're seeing right now. It's coming out more and more every day. The top management of FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, which is under the U.S. Department of Injustice. They're all a bunch of crooks, criminals, people like Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe. Okay? And these guys were conspiring against Donald Trump to make sure this outsider does not come up to D.C. and clean up that corrupt swamp of sleazy creatures of D.C., the politicians, and the corrupt bureaucrats and judges. They were trying to do whatever they can to knock him out, and CIA was in on it. So was the National Security Agency, the NSA, the top management of all these organizations. The regular rank-and-file workers are good people just like you and I, just making a living. but the top management of these organizations are crooks, criminals, thieves. The management of IRS, they know there's no law requiring you and me to file income tax, but they're on their bosses, the corrupt politicians, and their buddies in the judiciary, the judges, and their buddies in the U.S. Department of Injustice, the lawyers, U.S. attorneys. No, there's no law, because they're all owned by the big banks and corporations, the super rich in America, who pay for the advertising of the election campaigns of politicians, who put the bureaucrats and judges there. They're the real bosses of this country. The super rich that own this country have turned the American people like you and me into slaves. Yes, my friend, you did not know you were born into slavery. Just like in the movie The Matrix, Neo, you were born a slave. You did not even know it. You just go around surrounded with a world of lies, the matrix of lies that surrounds you. It's everywhere. One of them is paying income taxes. If you've not seen the movie Matrix, see it. If you've not seen the clip about, you know, Morpheus telling Neo about the red pill, put it on YouTube, it'll come up. You know, it's an eye-opener. Folks, we are opening people's eyes to the truth. And the IRS folks knows it. They have access to these conference calls at Freedom Law School, to YouTube videos at Freedom Law School. It's all there in the open. We're talking about it, folks. And there's nothing they can do about it, folks. And now, thanks to the internet, we have social media like YouTube and Facebook and others. This information is getting out in people's hands, in front of their eyes, like it never has happened before, and they cannot stop it. And that is the good news, folks. If you've not seen the video, check it out and be sure to forward it to your friends on YouTube, your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, anyplace else. You know, your coworkers, your family members. Folks, January 1st is around the corner. People next week and the next month are going to start getting W-2 forms and 1099 forms mailed to them by the companies they work for. And they're going to look for filing a tax return, a 1040 income tax confession form. So they think there's a law requiring them to do so. And this is undermined. It's a great time, folks, next month. You start asking these people. You can start asking them now if you want to. Hey, please help me collect this $300,000 income tax reward. It's actually three rewards, $100,000 each. Okay? And let them know that you will split the reward for them. You promise them. I promise you, I'll keep my word to you. I'll put it in writing if you want. I will not take your money for helping me finding the law. I will not cheat you, my friend. We're too good of a friend. We're family. I will not cheat you. You help me collect reward. I'll put it in writing. We'll split it in half, 50-50. You get $150,000. I get $150,000. Fair and square, I'll check back with you next week. I'll check back with you in a few days. And check back again and again. Hey, how's it going? How close are we to collecting that $300,000? And folks, the more educated your friend or relative is or coworker is, the more degrees he has or she has, the smarter that he is or he thinks he is, the better, because you're challenging them in a way that kind of strikes the ego. Well, of course I can get that. Sure, no problem. Everybody knows There's a tax law. Yeah, I'll get it. Sure. Let's go make some quick bucks. Easy. Yeah. No problem. Let's do it. And you want to approach them with that kind of an angle. Yeah, man. Let's make some money easy. Can't be any easier than that. And folks, something else I'm going to tell you, something special. If the person you would take the reward to is a tax preparer, could be a regular tax preparer, accountant, bookkeeper, certified public accountant, tax attorney, or any attorney, a lawyer, a judge of any kind, tax court judge, or IRS employee, or U.S. attorney, U.S. Department of Injustice lawyer. Guess what? Some of you I know those guys. Some of you got to have relatives and friends who is a U.S. attorney, who is an IRS employee, who is a tax lawyer or judge. If you get one of these kind of people, folks, to go on the reward with you, the reward is doubled to $600,000. There is no need for you to split that $300,000 with anybody. So if you know a judge, IRS employee, a lawyer, government lawyer, okay, certified public accountant, these so-called professionals, go tell them, look, I could get to other people I'm sure who are smart, who could help me get the law and split it with me 50-50. But because of the fact that you are a lawyer, a judge, IRS employee, you know, you're a CPA, you're an enrolled agent, guess what? The reward is doubled, so I don't have to split it with anybody else. You can keep your $300,000, and I get to get my $300,000. So I kept this for you, my friend. Okay, so let's do it. I need the money. You need the money. We'll pay the taxes on the money, okay? Tell people, well, let's collect the money and pay the taxes on that $300,000. Okay, we still have plenty of money left over. Folks, make it fun. I know people listening on the call, most of you know already, there is no law requiring the average American to file up income tax. But you know what? The people you're going to be talking to, they don't know that. So you're going to put yourself in their shoe by acting and thinking and feeling like them that just came across this reward and says, woo, nice. I want to collect $300,000 easy, quick. Let's get to it and collect this money, and I'll pay the taxes on this reward too. That's why you present them that way. So do not begin by telling them there is no law requiring the average American to file income tax. Because if you do, they're going to get into an argument about you, okay? And they're going to challenge you to defend your position that there is no law. Don't play that game. You don't want to be in that position. Put the burden of proof on them. Put on them to find the law that requires you to file income tax. Okay, of course, that's only the $100,000. The other $100,000 is for the if anybody can show them Freedom Law School how you can file a 1040 income tax confession form and not give up your right to be silent, as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And so that the government cannot use that 1040 form information against you, because they do. In all criminal tax prosecutions, they always, always can and will use whatever you put on that tax form or of any kind, 1040 or the tax form, against you. They always do that. You give them information, they use it against you. So how could you file a 1040 form and guarantee the government will not use what you gave the government voluntarily to put you in prison? It cannot be done, folks. It simply cannot be done. But the reward is framed in a way to get the person thinking, good point. They always do use those forms, whatever you put on there against you, don't they? Yeah, they can and they do. Well, we have a right to be silent at the same time, not to give anything that could be used against us in a criminal tax case. I mean, that is what the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says. How did I put that together that we have to file a 1040 income tax confession form, and at the same time, we have the right not to give anything, any information to the government that can be used against us to put us in prison? So how do you reconcile those two conflicting things? You can't. So that's another reason why it goes to show you the 1040 form, the federal income tax, does not apply to the average American. And the last 100,000 folks, that is for anybody that can show that the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. See, the Constitution was amended, added to. Things were added to it. It's called amendments. Number 16 of those is a so-called income tax amendment that the IRS claims and many people believe that authorized the tax on the average man's labor. It did not do so. But that's another question for another time. But it was not even ratified, folks. Not only 16th Amendment did not give Congress any new taxing power of like your labor, but it was never ratified properly as required by the U.S. Constitution. And nobody can prove that because we have the proof from a man named Bill Benson, who went to all the states who existed at the time of the so-called ratification of the 16th Amendment and got their own certified documents about the ratification of the 16th Amendment from state archives and found out that the states did not ratify the 16th Amendment. And Joe Barrister verified that with Mr. Bill Benson. So folks, that is the third $100,000. Most people, of course, focus on the first $100,000, which is showing the law that requires the average American to file and pay the income tax. So, okay, fine, folks. Focus on that question. Make it easy. Even though there is 200,000 more for two additional rewards that make it the bigger number of 300,000. Talk about it with people, folks. Remember, family members first. Family members first, folks. People you know, brother, sister, parent, child, cousin, brother-in-law, okay? Cousin, sister-in-law, right? Whoever you know. Then your friends and co-workers and anybody else you know. And remember, there's a special place for those inside the government, folks. We need more Joel Bannisters, insiders from inside the system to come and see us and take a courageous, righteous stand like Joel Bannister about the income tax fraud. Folks, do you know that just about every revolution in mankind of any major size, there's always somebody, an insider, that was within the group of the leaders, the establishment, the people in power, who came out and expose the corruption and the lies and the fraud of his former friends, of the people in power. And that was a key catalyst, happening event, to change the system, to change the powerful structure that happened. Folks, the founding fathers, some of them were known, they were part of the English power structure in the colonies. We had only a special agent from the Irish come to our side. What if you have a U.S. attorney from U.S. Department of Injustice comes out? He says, hey, I'm about to retire, or just retired, or you know what, I've been there for 5 years, but I got courage. I'm going to tell him as it is. One of these guys comes out and does it, or a judge. There are just a few of them like that out there, which are good people. And the more of you talk about this, folks, to your friends, again, forward it to your friends by email, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, you know, Snapchat, whatever you got, get it out there, folks. At some point, we're going to get some big fish, important people with influence, with big credibility out there, who are going to come to our side of the truth and join us and keep this peaceful revolution going. Folks, let me tell you why this has to be a peaceful revolution, because, you know, Congress has passed laws that does not allow us to ask the IRS about the income tax issue. I'll show that to you. Go to livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org, Creative Law School website. Bring your laptop out, personal computer, smartphone, tablet, whatever you got. I'm going to show you a couple of things right now, okay, at our website. Go to livefreenow.org. And go under the education materials. Go to the menu. If you have to open up the menu, then go to education materials. And then go down to how to stop income tax withholding. Go down on that drop-down menu to how to stop income tax withholding. And here, I covered this over the last few conference calls, this issue. But what I've done here, folks, part of the letter you see here, if you scroll down, I share with you the laws that Congress has passed that you cannot ask the IRS or the judges any questions you have about income tax law. You cannot do that by law. So I'll tell you what those laws are. Go type on your computer this law. Okay. So type in 26 U space. USC space 6702 and hit enter on your computer. And that is category 26 or title 26 of United States laws, United States codes, USC for short, section 6702. From mine came up a corner law website and then House of Representatives website. Go to uscode.house.gov one. Put your mouse on there and open that link in a new tab. Right click, open that in a new tab. And here's the frivolous tax submissions, folks. The law is right there. So basically, I won't read it for you. You can read it for yourself, folks. If you give the IRS anything that the IRS considers in their arbitrary minds to be frivolous, they can fine you a penalty of $5,000. Okay? $5,000. Just for asking the IRS questions about the law, the things that they don't like. Because I look at that section 6702A to B, right? What conduct they're talking about? Any conduct that reflects a desire to delay or impede the administration of federal tax laws. Wow. Look at how vague that is. The conduct they're going to impose $5,000 is anything that to the IRS's arbitrary subjective mind reflects a desire to delay or impede the administration of federal tax laws. So you write into the IRS asking them questions about the income tax fraud to the IRS to be, hey, you're impeding us. You're blocking us. You're slowing us down from doing our job. That's your desire. So we're going to fine you $5,000 for that. Okay? So that's why you cannot go to the IRS. Excuse me, go back to our website and you see an article. Excuse me. Go to, now I have on the list at 28 USC 2201. Excuse me, 1 second, please. Okay, so it's a 28 USC section 2201. That is a law that says you cannot go to the judges to get your tax questions answered. So let's look it up. Open up a new tab on the computer, 28 space USC space, and that section was 2201. 2201, enter. Okay, here comes up again. Okay, now let's go find a copy of that. I went down to one by uscode.house.gov one. Put your mouse on that, right click on it, open that link in a new tab. And folks, creation of remedy, what that law says is basically that you can go to federal judge, federal court. And if you have an issue that you have a personal stake in that's going to hurt you or help you, get your question answered. If you wonder that lake you have on your river coming through your property could be called a navigation of water of the United States, you can go to court. If you have a mouse in your land, okay, or animal or caribou or something that you think may be protected under the Protected Species Act, can you kill it to eat it or not? You can go to federal court. And the judge, I got this animal on my land. I want to kill it. It's a pest. I want to eat it because I'm hungry for food. Can I do that? If you're a nuclear facility, you want to build a nuclear facility, you can go to court. How can I do it right? They'll tell you. The judge will tell you, this is what you can and should do. This is what you cannot and you should not do. They will declare your rights and procedures applies to your case. That's nice. That way, you won't break the law by mistake because you went to the judge and got your question answered. That's a wonderful system where no one's going to break the law ignorantly because you didn't know the law. You're ignorant. You're stupid. You didn't know. I didn't know. I was stupid. I was ignorant. No, I'm not stupid, but none of us are stupid, but we just didn't know. Now you know the law, and the law as told by a federal judge. In any aspect of federal law, you can do that, except when it comes to taxes. Only taxes. And that's the issue that touches just about everybody in America. The tax question, paying federal tax. But if you don't know what your rights are, what your duties are, what you're supposed to do, not to do, or how to do it, you cannot go to court and get a clarification. You have to just take your chances. Read the law as best as you can on your own, or go to a lawyer, maybe have him, the lawyer, read the law for you. And good luck, because the courts are closed and will not give you an answer. So what choice do you have? The only choice you have is to read the law as you see it for yourself on the government's own website and apply it as best as you can understand the words of the law. And that's what Freedom Law School proposes, that you do that, folks. And of course, I recommend, in addition, to take it to your congressman, the only people in government left that you can write to about this, and confront them about this and say, look, why are you letting the deep state, corrupt bureaucrats in the IRS, and the U.S. Department of Injustice, and its deep state judges change the law to bring more money to the government and stealing our money? We are in debt. Most Americans, these folks, live paycheck to paycheck. They have no savings. Most people in this call have no savings. I know that. I used to be a financial planner. It's a fact. Most of you are in debt to credit cards. $5,000, $50,000 or more. Many of you are paying 20% or more interest on groceries and necessities of life to exist to the banksters. You're a slave to the banks now. They charge you extremely high raping, 20% plus interest rate, because you don't have enough money to live on, because a good chunk of it has been stolen from you in income taxes. And if it wasn't for that income taxes, you could breathe a little bit easier. You would not be in debt. Yeah, she would have some savings. Wow. We have a much bigger middle class in America living a better life. That's why this is a big, important thing. The American people are being raped. This is the biggest cause of poverty besides the money system that we have in America. The money system is fraud because banks own our money, not the government. And two, the income tax rips you off from the get-go, makes you poor. And that makes you a slave for the big banks who own the money system anyhow. Nice for them, huh? For the banks, I mean. So folks, this is a great expose of the income tax fraud, folks. And I believe, folks, I truly believe this, folks, I was able to do it, that this information is gonna get out there more and more. And you are gonna be part of that victory when other people in a position of power, influence, and a lot more people are gonna come to our side of truth, of the law, of the US Constitution, and saying enough is enough. Look at what's going on right now with President Trump. Okay, even him, this outsider non-politician who never held office, got to in one step to the highest political position in America, the most powerful position in the whole world. In that position, he's still fighting the corrupt deep state and the corrupt media of this country, the major media, which is owned by the same corrupt big banks and corporations that own the politicians and the deep state. He's fighting them as an outsider, not from the inside. And it's long from over for him. So for us folks, it's going to take work as well. Don't expect it to be easy, but it's going to be fun and exciting. And you can tell your kids and grandchildren that you were a part of something truly fabulous. You're a part of this peaceful revolution in America to get our country back when it looked hopeless. But some of us, like you, did not give up hope and kept at it and shared this information with other people, challenged others to show you wrong, and all eventually came to pass. So remember, folks, already there's been close to 5 million views of this on Facebook. 5 million within about a week or so when this video came out. Okay. On YouTube itself, about over 20,000. So there's a lot more that's going to be happening in January, folks. We're just getting warmed up on this. So having said that, folks, I want to let you know that next month I'll be having Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent. I'll have him on the call with us once each month, January through April. And I will also have the renowned constitutional tax freedom lawyer, who is an expert on the tax and the money issue and the banking, Mr. Larry Beecraft, a left attorney for over 35 years. He will be with me once a month also in the next few months, talking about these very important issues and educating you about all this. So stay tuned, folks. We got more good information coming your way to take action on. Now, if you have a question, you're welcome to ask it, folks. I don't want to go on and just talk and talk and talk. I can talk for hours if you want me to talk, but you have so much time. I have a lot to do. I'm sure you do too. So I think you have to push 7 on your keypad if you have a question to ask on the telephone keypad. Or 1 or 3, I forgot. You can try it out and see. I'm not a technical guy, folks, on the computer stuff. But if you have a question, folks, I'll be happy to answer it. Whether it's about this issue, a Freedom Law School $300,000 income tax reward. Maybe you're one of those people who try to claim the reward. That's fine. Or you have an issue with the IRS, the state income tax agency, the police, the bureaucrats of any kind that is harassing you or wants money from you, wants to steal your money, your rights, you know, Freedom Law School will do its best to help you. I'll do my best, folks, to give you the answers you need and steer you to a direction you want and need to go to find the freedom answers and solutions that will work for you. So there's nobody with any questions right now. If you have any questions, let me know. But before that, let me just tell you about some of the resources available at Freedom Law School, okay? Right at your fingertips. First of all, at Live Free Now once you go there, okay? The first thing that if you haven't done, you want to do is go ahead and sign up to get a free Freedom Education Package. Okay, just sign up on our front page. That'll be emailed to you. And folks, I'm expanding that education package that's going to be sent to you by email. The first part is mailed to you, U.S. mail, with U.S. postage. Freedom Law School will pay for it at no charge to you. You get CD of Joe Bannister, the former our special agent speech, that of myself, and our Freedom Catalog. Then you're going to get the other material by email. Coming through in a month coming up. That's going to be expanded. And the next thing you want to do, folks, take a look at our education material, folks, on the top drop-down menu. There's a lot there. Okay, go to Income Tax Reward, Eye-Opening Education, Educate Congress. Those are my first three I really like. Those are the simplest ones. Then I also like the How to Stop Income Tax Withholding we just talked about. Just go and have fun in there, folks. Educate yourself. I'll be putting more and more in there. Okay. Then you can go on the top right, look at our victories that we had over the IRS. I've had many victories over the IRS myself. Our students, like you, have had many, many more bigger victories than even me. We had cases that the IRS says, $1 million claim has been zeroed out, or $4 million plus zeroed out. Liens and levies removed and money refunded. Okay? Of course, not to mention there's many, many more cases that we've avoided. IRS taking your money by doing things right in the first place to begin with. So check that out. And then you're ready to, at this point, maybe go to some of our weekly calls, look at some of the previous conference calls about the subject that interests you. And also you can go to the YouTube channel, of course, it's got a lot there too. But then go to our course packages. And in our course packages, folks, there's so much there. You can start with a Practical Road to Freedom course, which is only $300, over 20 hours of education on audio CD, 200 plus pages of paperwork, and a 90-day, 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. It's only $300. So it's $20 shipping. You can get that course, give it back to me within 3 months, and you know what? You only pay for the shipping. Get it back, course to be in good shape, no, your money will be refunded to you, like a deposit. You get all the way from that, all the way up to the Royal Freedom Package, you have options and choices to start from a smaller course or package. I move up to the bigger ones and get credit, because ideally, you want to be at the highest level of the Royal Freedom Package, but you can start with a small package. You can put half or a third down for any of these courses or Freedom Packages, if you like, and then move up. So folks, freedom is attainable for every one of you. Every one of you at all levels of how much you make. You're making $500,000 a year to a guy making less than $40,000 a year. You could all afford it. It is just a matter of priorities to you. I was a poor person. I remember back in 1992, 25 years ago. I was so poor I couldn't afford car insurance. I had lentils every week, lentil beans. Okay? It was just my regular diet, you know, because I could have, it was cheap. You know, I had the cheapest place I could find, you know, because that's all I could afford, folks. Okay? And I paid $1,500 to get untaxed back in 1992. That was 1992 money. Today's money, that would be more like, you know, maybe $4,000. And I paid for that to be free. So for you, $300 now, $900 now, these small packages and courses are nothing. And I have no money back guarantee, by the way, either on what I got. You do have an ironclad 100% unconditional money back guarantee on the courses. So take your steps forward, the first steps, and move on and tell your friends about it. And you can also get paid for referring other people to us. Yes, and credited. By referring other people to Freedom Law School for your own courses and Freedom Packages. So that's available as an option for you as well. We want to thank you for telling other people about Freedom Law School. It's a win-win solution, win-win arrangement. Okay? So let's go to some of the people we have right now who are waiting patiently to get their questions answered. Let's go to the call we have from area code 815. Folks, before you ask your question, remember, to protect your privacy, I don't want your full name. Just your first name is enough. Also, I would like to know how you heard about Freedom Law School, because we'd like to know what kind of educational outreach methods are working. So that information is helpful to us. So please call from America 815. Tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, your first name, and then your question, please.
Yeah, my name is Tom. I heard about Freedom Law School on Daily Conspiracies. It ran an article mentioning the challenge. Can you hear me?
Yes. On Daily Conspiracies, yes. Now, that's an interesting website. Let me go check that right now if you don't mind. See, this is what I'm talking about. Exactly. I didn't know there was an education source called Daily Conspiracies out there, which I'm going to check it out because I like to learn myself. Daily Conspiracies. Conspiracies.com?
Yeah, I believe so. They must have heard about it.
Okay. Yeah, because the word's getting on. Was it dailyconspiracy.com? Didn't show up. There's no such thing according to my computer. Or maybe did I do it right?
The dailyconspiracy.com.
Or the dailyconspiracy.com.
Okay. And the article is income tax illegal.
Okay, the dailyconspiracy.com. Oh, okay, it's coming up. Okay, now let's see. How do I find the article in there? Categories. They got different categories.
Whatever was today.
About us. What's that?
It's dated December 24th, 2017. Under
So it's
political,
going to go down.
uncategorized.
Ah, okay. Very good. Okay, I guess I'll check this out, my friend. See, that's what I love about internet. It's the equalizer for us to bypass the big bank and corporate-owned media that own the corrupt system we have. So we can go there, and this is one good source. Well, you know, my favorite news source out there is American Free Press, AmericanFreePress.net. My friends of mine for a long time give you the. They actually give a newspaper in hand once every 2 weeks, a magazine you get in hand. Tell you what's going on out there. Really good information. I like to have in my hand, as well as, of course, on the internet. There's so much more sources, but that's definitely the one I'll have to check out, the AmericanFreePress.net. But okay, my friend, thank you for that, Tom. What is on your mind? How can I help you, Tom?
Well, the question was, who exactly was offering the, I'll call it the challenge or the reward? Is it the Freedom Law School itself, or is it you?
Yes, I'm the founder and president
Okay.
of Freedom Law School, and I started the award in 1999 after Joe Bannister, my student who was the former IRS gun-carrying special agent with the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS, quit the IRS when the IRS refused and failed to show him the law that requires the Americans to file up income tax, refused his report on income tax. I thought, well, I helped edit his book for him, and I knew what he said clearly, and these are the three key points of his book. So I thought, great, let's do a reward. You know, the government IRS could not refute Joe Bannister. They never refute him. Every time he went to D.C., from California, flew out to Washington, D.C. to debate the government, they never show up. They always hide from this former agent of their own. So let's have a reward, because I knew that they cannot answer it. And I knew that, you know, one way to get people's
But
attention is
see,
through greed.
I wonder what the question, what the question is.
Yes.
Is if someone could show you, or would you pay it?
Yes. Please
That's the
go and
question.
submit your
Or do you
claim.
believe, or do you believe that there really isn't a statute or code that shows it? Because I'm
Well,
telling you there is, and I could show it to you. Now it's
you are
hidden
in
between three different statutes, yes. But I emailed you today with my email. If you want to discuss it further, but I can tell you that there is statutes that make you liable to pay the income tax.
Well, Tom, let me share this with you, my friend. I appreciate your what you said, and I appreciate your remark and your opinion. But I've had over last week over 100 people at least on Facebook
I believe you.
and email having the same opinion as you about they think that they found the law. They just as much as you, I have to respect their statement and their opinion. I have to respect yours, and I have to we have to have to look at each one of their claims and yours and respond. So, have you emailed that to Freedom Law School yet, Tom?
Yes, I did that today.
Very good. So, what I've been doing is I've been getting to the oldest ones and answer the newest ones. I've gone to a lot of them went on Facebook. I think we just covered Facebook, I think, today just about. And now we get into the email ones. People email to us. We're going to get to those, my friends. So yours will be addressed also. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Any when you get time, whenever. Thanks.
You are most welcome. Look for an email from Freedom Law School, my friend. Okay. Thank you for, by the way,
Okay.
so thank you for the issue, my friend. I appreciate you calling us. Let's go to the next call we have from area code 323 in Los Angeles area. I used to live down there, my friend. Tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, your first name, and then your question, please.
Hi. Yes, good afternoon. My name is Admira, and
Spell that
I've
to me.
heard about Admira.
Admika, very unique, pretty name. Where is that from, Admika?
I do not know. Just my dad wanted me to have a unique name, I would say.
Well, he did that all right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, and how you heard about Freedom Law School, Admika?
I've been doing some research online in reference to other matters as far as the law, and somehow I tapped into Joe Bannister and Jackson, and I started reading and hearing more about these tax laws and the fraud that the IRS has been doing. And I went online and I saw several of your videos. I've been following a lot of your videos and listening to a lot of them. And I was wondering, my question was, how is it, I know that I'm not supposed to be paying taxes because I'm not liable for them, because I'm not that through that Article 13 or 16, I don't remember. I'm not subject to their jurisdiction. So my question is, if I have to do a W-2, can I just go ahead and exempt myself from it? Or how I can do this to prepare myself for this battle that I'm going to be dealing with in the future?
Very good question, Admika. And that's exactly the question I covered over the last 3 weeks of Freedom Law School's conference calls. So if you go and check out the conference call on December 21st, December 14th, okay, and December 4th of 2017 on YouTube or at our website, if you go down to click on weekly calls menu, if you double click on weekly calls, you see on the second row of the drop down menu. And under that, you see the recent conference calls that Freedom Law School has had. You see the previous 6 weeks there, and there's more if you want to go back further, more episodes that are also there. But look at those ones on, can you stop your employer from stealing taxes from your paycheck? Okay, and I'll recommend in a short, just is that you write your congressman, all three of them, about this issue, confront them about the law as produced by U.S. House of Representatives website. You send it to them, confront them with the clear language of that, the U.S. Supreme Court statement about taxes, and have them show you if you're wrong, and have them stop the IRS from forcing employers to steal money from your paycheck illegally. Okay. And then after that process, then you can go to your employer, because the only branch of the government that you could ask the question did not refute you that what you read from the government's own website, the law, it says what it says. It should be enforced as it says. So do that process, and that will protect you, because let me tell you, as I said before, what you don't know is the deep state crooks, IRS management, the U.S. Department of Injustice lawyers, they're very jealous and protective, along with their deep state judges, of government money. They want the money. Tim, it's all about the money. So they don't care about the law. So they try to charge a few people every year who put exempt on your W-4s with tax or stop withholding with tax evasion for having stopped the so-called automatic withholding that everybody's supposed to have. So by doing this method, not only are you doing the right thing on your First Amendment of the Constitution to influence Congress to enforce the law and protect you and your rights and your money, but at the same time, you're protecting yourself from the deep state trying to get you to a stacked court where the judge doesn't let you let the jury see the law. Because this way you will show the jury the law, and the jury will find you not guilty, so they will not come after you in the first place, Admika. Just like the IRS has not come after me for not having filed me and paid income tax, or my student, the former IRS special agent, Joe Bannister. Neither one of us have filed income tax or paid for a long time. Yet they don't dare take us before the jury because they know we will put the government on trial. So you want to be that strong so they will not come after you. So do the method the Freedom Law School is sharing with you by going through Congress first And I think you'd be very happy as a result.
Okay. Thank you very much for your advice. And I will definitely follow up with it. And I really enjoy your videos and listening to you. I've learned so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. My pleasure, Adnika. Thank you, folks. Folks, it really means a lot to me that people say those words, but I don't hear a lot of you thank me. You don't have to thank me, folks. I'm doing just what I feel in my heart, I want, and I need to do as an American, because I came from Iran where we had no freedom of speech. You could not criticize the government there, folks. You would be thrown in jail. You'd disappear in the middle of a day or night. Your family doesn't know what happened to you, where you're at, when you'll be back. Jailed with secret trials, summary trials, no juries ever, maybe even executed. But in America, we have the right to free speech, association, assembly, to publish material and work with like-minded individuals like each other to take our beef to the government and have them, correct our government who's out of control, get them back under control with the people and protecting our rights and our property like they're supposed to. So folks, go out there, have fun with it like I am doing. Let's go to our next caller from area code 417. Tell us how you heard about Freedom Law School, my friend, your name, and then your question, please.
Well, out of order, my name is Jack, and I heard about Freedom Law School sometime after 2001. Joe Bannister, Debbie Kidd, that whole group of people who are trying to wake people up to what's actually going on in this country. And Payman, I just want to say, and I'm not kissing your you-know-what, but the Iranian immigration to the United States is a success story, as is the Indian immigration to the United States. You folks came over here under very difficult circumstances, and you made your own way. You didn't ask for anything, for handouts, and you've been remarkably successful and have been a great addition to the culture and society of the United States in general. And I just want to say that. I don't think a lot of people understand that. And the reason your parents were forced out of your country was because of the actions of the United States government, the CIA, and UK intelligence service in the overthrow of the democratically elected Iranian government that gave rise to the Shah. So I just want you to know there are people in the United States who know the story, and I guess ultimately it's a good thing that your parents and others like you were brought to this country and have given us so much. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Maybe this is a more basic question, but Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, and Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution lay out the taxing authority of the United States government. And then in the early 20th century, after the passage of the 16th Amendment, two court cases, Prochaber v. Union Pacific Railroad and Eisner v. McComber, pretty much identified that the 16th Amendment further specified the taxing authority of the government. So what happened? How did we get here? That's my question.
Okay, now that's a long question. How did these court cases got us here? I'm not quite clear about your question. Could you explain it one more time, please?
All right. Well, so you understand that the taxing authority of the federal government is defined in the Constitution.
Yes.
Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 says representative
right.
and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which
right.
may be included in this union. Okay. And then Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. And that seemed to work for a while up until 1913 when they led the federal government, the Congress, felt they needed to impose upon us a 16th Amendment to the Constitution, ostensibly expanding the taxing authority of the federal government. That's the common understanding of it today. But there were two court cases, one in 1916, Brushaber v. Union Pacific Railroad, and another in 1920, and these are Supreme Court cases.
Yes, I'm familiar with them, Right.
So, and it's my understanding from what I've been reading that those further define the limited taxing authority of the federal government. But what I was raised to believe, and I'm 58 years old, is that the taxing authority of the federal government is unlimited. It's not restricted by any statute or rules. And so I'm just wondering, can you give us some sense of how we got to where we are today, where the government is able to pretend it has unlimited taxing authority, when in fact it's greatly restricted? Do you understand my question?
Yes. Well, that's a big question. Okay, that could be subject of a call by itself, and it really is.
Well,
but since you brought it up, I'll say it here. I'll probably do it another time. Anyhow, I'll give you my short view of it. Okay. Yes. Basically, in the Constitution, there's two kind of taxes recognized: direct and indirect. Indirect are things you can avoid. You know, tax on imports. You don't have to buy imports if you don't want to. Tax on certain commodities, like tax on whiskey, you know, or sugar. You can avoid sugar and whiskey if you want to, for example. But don't buy those things. Just like you can avoid the toll road by going through your destination through other means than toll road. So indirect taxation could be avoided by simply not doing the activity, you know, that they want to tax. Direct taxes, however, cannot be escaped because they're taxing you directly. They're coming at you individually. Well, the direct taxation are severely restricted in the Constitution. Basically, they gotta be partitioned between the states. That's why the word apportion comes from. Divide among the states, and really the states gotta collect that and then give it up to the federal government. In a way, actually, it was set up that way deliberately by the founding fathers to make it very difficult for the federal government to come after people directly. Okay, and that's where a census takes place every year, by the way. See, the number of people in the states was originally intended so that we know that, hey, how much was California pay this year on their taxes on their individuals versus the ones in Delaware or Rhode Island. So we had a very short income tax that we're going to do in 1812 in the war with England. I don't think they did it. It's kind of a dispute as far as they did it for how long or not. It was a very short war. And then 1860s, there was that for a few years with Lincoln. They had the income tax for a few years there. Then after the war, get rid of it. And then 1913, when America's becoming an empire, and some sinister foreign sources, namely, in my opinion, as a Jewish Iranian, I tell you, I believe the Jewish world order, the corrupt Rothschild and company who want to rule the world as the God's chosen people, but the really Satan's chosen people who own the money of the big banks of the world, the Western world. They want to just take over everybody else. They think you're a bunch of all stupid going and non-Jew idiots. And they want to, by ruling money, they can rule the politicians, they own the media. These guys were trying to take over U.S. as they had done in the past. And so they control the Europe, Western Europe already. So they helped support the income tax of the rich at that time. They supported that. But the goal was to tax the super rich, the Rockefellers, the Carnegie Mellons, the trusts. The average worker wanted to have those guys be taxed versus tax on imports that the average American paid for. That was the goal of the income tax movement in the late 1800s. They went through early 1900s. And what happened is that in the income tax law that was made about 1890, it was struck down by U.S. Supreme Court because the court said that the taxing the rent of the land is the same as taxing the land itself, which is like taxing the fruit of the tree is the same as taxing a tree. the fruit of the tree is the rent, but you tax the fruit, but not the fruit itself. The Supreme Court said that, well, you tax the tree, the land itself, by taxing its fruit, the rent. So as a result of that, because they're going to tax the rich who made money like in real estate, there was a lot of money made on land at that time. They were super rich, big landowners. So, and also big corporations were rising. They wanted to tax the big corporation. So 16th Amendment was meant to tax the super rich by, you know, taking that direct taxation clause from restrict the government from taxing the super rich, you know, real estate, super rich corporations, because they were directly taxing those entities. It was direct tax on landowners that were rich, direct tax on the corporations. So 16th Amendment said that you can basically tax those things and don't worry about this apportionment among the states that's required of direct taxes dividing up among the states. But the word income, right, at that time was understood to be income of the super rich from investments and gains by not working.
And not
you loan out your money at the bank and make interest on that money. That's all gain. You did nothing for it. You put money in a corporation and you make millions from the dividends. You did nothing for that. You just put some money in it. That's a gain. That's a profit. You bought a bunch of land, you know, 10,000 acres, sold some of it, made gain. That you did nothing for that. You just gained money from that, and that is a profit. That's income. The labor of the average man, the wages, the salaries of the average man was known at the time not to be income. Income had a different meaning back in the late 1800s and early 20th century than now. So that's why you read in the Buchheber Supreme Court case. Buchheber would say that, look, hey, the 16th Amendment gives Congress power to impose taxes, in violation of the restrictions on the direct taxation that's in the Constitution. You know, it created an unapportioned direct tax, and the Buchheber court said, no, that's not what happened. What happened is that the 16th Amendment, told the court, don't worry about the source of that profit. If you made profit from the rent of real estate, doesn't matter if it came from real estate. It's not taxing the real estate. You're taxing a profit of the real estate, not the real estate itself. The rental is rent. You can tax the rent. You are not taxing your real estate. So don't look at it if it's coming from real estate. Look at only that's rent. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the McCumber case also further came. And again, talked about income. Is there's always some kind of a gain or profit. That means you did not put your labor, your own efforts into it. As a landlord, you just collect rent without lifting a finger. As a, again, stockholder, you get paid dividends without doing a thing. The company pays the dividends anyhow. As a lender, you make money on interest or royalties, you know, without lifting a thing. Those things are gains. Those are profits. Those are income. That's what Buchheber court case Supreme Court said. That's what Eisner versus McCumber Supreme Court and other ones of that era in the 1910s and 1920s. That's what all those cases said.
I'm going to answer your question.
Give me a chance. I'll get your question, my friend. You get it, Jack. Just give me a chance. What happened is this.
Sure.
In 1930s, we went through a Great Depression with great unemployment and starvation. And of course, what we have right now, it's a Great Depression, by the way, except the soup lines have moved inside to called food stamps. Instead of soup lines, the government gives you food stamps. So we still have a lot of hungry people in America right now. We're still in a Great Depression. But anyhow, and we were into that Great Depression, and then we got into the Second World War, which was a setup job by the same, you know, international banksters, you know, the Jewish banksters, because they didn't want to have the Germany, who killed the banks, kicked out the banks, and they freed themselves of the international banksters' control by printing their own money. That's how Germany had full employment and no inflation, almost none. Because they became a prosperous, most prosperous country in the world, perhaps after the United States. Full employment and prosperity, Germany became in the 1930s. And they want to kill that because that would be an example to the world or how they get rid of these banksters. So they got the world in that war by the control of the Western world. They got England and France and Poland to that war, and the United States engineered that into the war, you know. So in 1942, when the Pearl Harbor happened, which was a setup job, by the way, you know, there was a Roosevelt blockaded the Japan, naval blockade, and Japan needs oil. They have no oil of their own, which was an act of war against Japan. Japan was forced, basically, to defend themselves by attacking the U.S. And Japan and Germany were allies. They were trying to help, hoping to get Germany through the back door into the war. And that succeeded. That worked. Japan went for that. And the admiral of the Pearl Harbor was kept dark about the oncoming attack to get as much damage and American soldiers killed in Pearl Harbor to make a big disaster to get the American people, you know, incited into war. More agitated to won the war against Japan and Germany. It was all deliberately set up. So when they did that in 1942, we got into the war, Second World War. To fund the war, they said, let's have a withholding from anybody's paycheck, 5%, to fund the war. Well, at that time, the military spending went sky high, you know, by borrowing from the Federal Reserve, privately owned Federal Reserve, cartel, the big banks. With that new money in the system, we got out of the Great Depression quickly because it was a mobilization of the country. Men instead of working, we're out killing in Europe. Okay, and so the women have to actually go replace their jobs. They had full employment all of a sudden because young men were taken out of the workforce. So that solved our economic problem. Who was left? Older men, middle-aged men, women who supported our sons and husbands and brothers in the war in Europe. So they didn't mind paying 5%, though they would hold it from their paycheck for the first time ever temporarily. It was called the victory tax for 2 years to support their brothers and sons in a war in Europe. Well, the war took a little bit longer, took about 3 years to complete, and then they kept the tax going anyhow after, you know, even though it took longer than 2 years, the victory tax, they kept it going, kept the withholding going. So, and the federal government and the politicians and the deep state realized, and the banksters realized, wait a minute, we're doing fantastic here. This is all great new money. We got an empire. We can do make a lot more money off this whole scam. For the banks, it's a great deal. For the military contractors that the banks owned, great deal. It was more way to, you know, to suck wealth to themselves from the American economy. So they kept it withholding going. The 1954, they made the 1954 code. Income tax code to codify it because nobody complained much about it, it seems like. And whatever little complaining there wasn't much in there. There wasn't much confrontation at the time. Vivian Kellum in LA, Los Angeles, was a lady with a business owner. She objected to being a withholding agent for the IRS. And it took her to court. She had battles with them, Vivian Kellum. And then AJ Porth was a contractor in the early 50s. Went around the country telling people, look, you know, our right to be silent under Fifth Amendment has been violated whenever we file a 1040 income tax form. Stop doing it. And you see, by that time, the average American came out of the Great Depression to prosperity. We didn't mind paying some of our money to the income tax. And that was a whole new generation. 1942. To 1913 is about 30 years later. Every generation is about 30 years. That's a fact. So the new generation forgot what the previous parents of them know. So they thought that whatever you make for a living is income. So they went along with this whole thing, the thing, the wages and salaries and the labor, or small business owner, independent contractor, get someone working for himself. They thought that, oh, that's income too. But it wasn't. It's not. Income has a very specific meaning, which I described earlier. So now, fast forward from 1940s to forward, increasingly, the average American thinks and assumes, well, what I make from my living is my income. No, not in legal terms. In a common sense term of you and I speaking, yes. But in legal terms, income is only those profits and gains for you not lifting a finger. So now what we got to do, but the revolution we have today, my friend, is this. In 1940s and 50s, all the way through the early 2000 years, you and I have to go to a law library and find the law. I was lucky. I lived in Tustin, California, in Santa Ana, the county seat in Orange County, California. In about 12 minutes, I could be at the law library, park, pay parking fee, go upstairs, find the law in the bookshelf, pay 15 cents a copy, take the copy of the law home for future reference. I was lucky because the law library was less than 15 minutes away from my house. A public law library, but many people, a law library could be hours of driving from their home. And I was lucky someone else showed me how to use the law library. I was fortunate. A good man showed me how to use it. My friend Bill McCarty showed me how to use the law library. You don't know how to use a law library. No one teach that to you. It's not, you know, it's such an automatic thing. I have a course on that on YouTube, by the way. You go on YouTube, type how to use a law library. It'll come up. Freedom Law School's class I did in 2002 is right there for you to see for free. But you had to get the law books. And the law was practically hidden from you, the average American. Today, however, folks, is we have the Gutenberg Press. The Bible was read back in the 11, 12, 1300s by the clergy of the Catholic Church only. But with Gutenberg Press, Bible could be produced by the hundreds or thousands and passed on to many others to read for themselves. And that's what led to the Protestant movement, okay, out of the Catholic Church. And today, now you can look up and read the laws, the federal laws and the Supreme Court cases for yourself on the internet for free at the look of your finger, type it in like I've done, boom, you'll see it. Type in Eisner, that's E-I-S-N-E-R space, V period, space, Macomber, M-A-C-O-M-B-E-R. And all of you will see this Eisner versus Macomber case that Jack told us about on this call. For yourself, it'll come up. It was 1920 case. You can read it for yourself. So they can no longer hide the law. And that's the beauty of our situations. In the criminal tax prosecutions, Jack, what they do is that the crooked deep state judge at the request of government does not show the law to the jury. They don't give the text of the IRS code section 1, 61, 63, 6011, 6012. They usually rely on these five code sections to say that the average person is supposed to require the pump income tax. But if you read those code sections, they actually do not say that. And the crooked U.S. attorney, government lawyer, and the judge, you know, will agree to not the jury see that, because if the jury sees the law, it might, quote unquote, confuse the jury. Why? Because in the court of law, the judge is God. He is the only source of the law for the jury. So the judge tells them those code sections impose a tax on average Americans like this poor defendant The jury says, yes, sir. They don't get to see the law for themselves. Now you all can do it. Now, when you do something, you don't say, I was relying upon the law. And they, when you go, if they come after you, you, well, what was the law? Oh, you don't know. You're not sure. Wait a minute. I have it right here. I read up, I looked up the law from the House Representative's website, printed out, read it, wrote a letter to my Congress members, all three of them, asked me to refute it. They did it. So that's it. That's the law. I have a copy of the letter right here in my red hand. Here, here it is, Judge. Here it is, jury. Read it for yourself. And they will not want the jury to see the law, because the jury will blow their head gasket and go, whoa, wait a minute. This defendant, tax criminal, evader, you try to portray that this Admika stop withholding on her paycheck. She is a hero, exposing the fraud of income tax. Why try to put her in jail? The people who got, should go in jail, the IRS management and these, the U.S. attorneys with the U.S. Department of Injustice and the judge who are trying to put this patriotic citizen who is simply following the law in jail. It's a whole different ballgame now. Now you can look up and read the law for yourself easily from the government's own website. But you're right about what your point was, Jack, in that the concept of income you're trying to ask about, that got in the people's minds changed. That's a big part of the deceit. For example, another example of this issue is in 1930s, they came up with the Social Security Act and then Social Security number in late 1930s. And President Roosevelt, that crooked criminal, promised the American people that the Social Security number will never become a national ID number for Americans. Another politician, government lie. Yes, for several decades, it was that way. And in fact, I remember seeing, well, I remember 20 years ago, 25 years ago, some friends of mine who had their Social Security card on the back of it, it still said that this card, you know, shall not be used for identification purposes. Something to that purpose, basically, that language. But in the 1960s, about 30 years after the Social Security Act started with a new generation of American people, they said, IRS, go ahead and start using that slave surveillance number as a tax ID number of the people for taxes. See, they were doing without Social Security number income taxes in 1940s, 50s, no problem. By 1960s, they started, I started using it. In 1970s, they start saying, tell the banks, hey, banks, for someone to open a bank account, you should ask for their Social Security number. Now, you could still open an account without being asked, well, you know, if you didn't have one, but the bank had to ask. Everybody assumed that they got to have one to provide one when they're asked by the bank or the IRS. But most everybody paid taxes, most everybody. Have to use the banking system to pay the bills, usually with checks. So everybody got a number for those reasons. And from then onwards, it was downhill. Everybody and their uncle start asking for your slave surveillance number, Social Security number, the Department of Motor Vehicles, the insurance companies, the hospitals. Okay. And so that now there's a problem called identity theft because someone used your number, which is you. It's your slave number. Someone else used that to buy something on credit cards. Identity theft. But that's not you. That's not your number. That's not how it's supposed to be, according to Roosevelt, when he did that in the 1930s. But a new generation of people with a different understanding of all this, not knowing about the original promise of the politicians, not knowing what happened, forget about all that, everybody gets a slave surveillance number. So the income tax went the same process of deception that we are unraveling for the American people, Jack. Does that help you with your question, my friend? Okay. Very good. Well, Jack got disconnected, folks, from the call. Now, let me see, Jack, are you there still? Here we go, 417, and he got disconnected. So there's that story, folks. And I hope you found that informative for you. And thank you for being with Freedom Law School, folks. Remember, folks, tell your friends about us. Get on our email list of Freedom Law School to be in touch with you. Become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook. That's one way to stay in touch with us. And our phone number is there. Tell America about what's going on. We are a source of education, answers, and solutions that will work for you to live free, especially of the lying income tax scam. You have a right to live free. The laws are written to protect your rights. They've been misapplied by the deep state of the IRS management and the U.S. Department of Injustice. But we can get our country back, folks, by working together and waking up the American people to their plight, so together we can free ourselves. You can free yourself individually from this, and we can do it also together. Thank you. I'll be back with you next year. Good night, everyone.